Ephesians chapter 4. Thank you, sir. Find that bell. Just take it out now. Man. Ephesians chapter 4. As I've said the last couple of times I've preached, and it keeps happening, that I always feel extra nervous when I preach here. I'm ready to go back and preach in Mexico or something in Spanish. I'm less nervous now doing that than standing here. But I'm thankful I have the chance to bring the Word of God to you tonight, and I pray it'll be a blessing. Ephesians chapter 4, let's read a little bit of God's Word here in verse number 22. Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Amen. Who can say amen to that? The old man is corrupt. Amen. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's one of the reasons we have service on Wednesday, is to help us renew that spirit. Amen. Come together with other Christians. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye not angry, be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And then it goes on to talk about corrupt communication, putting away wrath and bitterness, and replacing them with being kind and tender-hearted. Amen. In this passage, we see the changes that should happen between the old man and the new man. A man who is lost and a man who gets saved. And sadly, there are Christians who have the new man but still want to live like the old man. So even in Christians, we can see those negative attributes that are here. It talks about being renewed in the spirit. It talks about changing the way you speak. It talks about changing the way you interact with your neighbors. It talks about in verse number 28, letting him that stole steal no more. Changing what you were, changing how you use this temple, which is now bought by Jesus Christ. Amen. And in verse number 28, it says in the middle, working with his hands the thing which is good. So God is teaching that if someone who used to steal, I'm not going to ask if anybody was a thief here tonight. I do remember in the old Wegmans, they used to have barrels of candy. They didn't have all the little plastic tins. They had some in barrels. And I remember one day, taking one of those little candies. I was a little kid, maybe 16 at the time. No, I was a little kid. I stuck it in my pocket, and somewhere along my mom's never-ending shopping trip, as kids, your mom is in the store, it feels like, for 3 days. Amen? And opening it up and sneaking it and eating it, and somewhere around the registers, I thought I was plenty sneaky. My mom noticed I must have had probably chocolate smeared across my face or my breath. You know, if someone tries to eat a Reese's peanut butter cup anywhere near you, you know someone's eating it. And she, what's that? You stole? She goes into the manager's office a minute later, sends me in, and I am terrified. You know, you walk in, they have the camera displays, and I'm thinking, as a child, this is like spy headquarters. And this guy I'm talking to is basically the government. He's going to kill me. And I got a big stern talking to there, and I never stole one of those candies again. Amen? Let him that stole steal no more. But then what are we supposed to do? You put off the old things, but now you're supposed to do something new in its place. And it says, working with his hands the thing which is good. Working with his hands the thing that is good. We use our hands for a lot of things. Work. I'm sometimes embarrassed to shake hands with men who do work because their hands feel like sandpaper and mine is like a baby over here. You know, I don't have many calluses on my hands. When it's time to chop wood at my dad's house, it takes about 5 minutes and my hand's covered in blisters. Why? Because it's not used to that work. Spiritually, our hands, physically as well, aren't used to sometimes doing that which is good. It wants to go back to doing what's natural, what the old man wants to do. There's a lady in Mexico, I remember, and every time I shook her hand, it felt like a Brillo pad. I mean, it was just calloused and rough, and I felt always kind of embarrassed to shake her hand because I knew this lady does work. She's been working her whole life, and here I am. I'm supposed to be like a big, tough, manly man, and I got baby hands. It's nice. Amen. We use our hands to communicate. You can say it. She knows you. Come here. With my kids, Sila. Shh. We do this, right? What does this mean, Sila? She just woke up. What does it mean, buddy? I love you. We do that a lot. We flash the I love you back and forth to each other. I did that in Mexico, and people are like, what are you doing? They didn't know it meant I love you. And then down in Mexico, they had some different ones that we had to learn. One is, you know, you say little kids. In Mexico, if you do it like this, they're talking about animals. It's offensive. You have to do it with your hand this way for little kids. If your hand's this way, then you're talking about animals. That was a different one. I didn't know that. You don't say come here or come here in Mexico. That's not right. You have to do come here. So sometimes I still do that. So if you see me doing this, I'm not having a stroke or something. I'm just calling my kids over. And another thing that took me a minute was how they say thank you, especially in traffic. I you know, I let some guy in, you know, go ahead. And he goes, what? And that's thank you. That's how they say thank you. No, thank you for letting me go. And I wasn't expecting. I'm like, what did I do wrong? I let him go. Some of us have used our hands for some things that aren't right. Amen? Some people may be used to, you are always ready to get in a fight, ready to use your hands for violence. No, now it's time to work that which is good. I have some points tonight about how we can put our hands to good use. What we can do that's good with our hands, especially when we're talking about the things of God. Amen? There's lots of practical, physical things you can do. The Bible does talk about work. Amen? Work is of God. That's a good thing you can do with your hands. Amen? There's a lot of things, but when it comes to God, let's go to Galatians, just over a book. Go back a book, Galatians chapter 2. Good things you can do with your hands, or how to put your hands to good use. You can pick which one you like, Brother Dickinson, as a title. Amen? Okay, amen. He's asked me the last couple times I preach, and I don't normally pick a title. I don't know. What do I say? Galatians chapter 2, verse number 9. In this chapter, there's a division. Paul is called to work with what people group? The Gentiles. Peter and a lot of the other disciples are still ministering to the Jews. And there's some confusion where the people ministering to the Jews still want to include parts of the law in what they're teaching. And then Paul, who's ministering to the Gentiles, says, you know, we're free from the law. And Peter got that same message in a way, but he's still kind of hanging on to certain parts. And I'm sure there's a lot of resistance among the Jewish community to fully switch over. So they were having a fight and a discussion between Paul comes back to Jerusalem and the people heard he's preaching to the Gentiles. He's preaching against the circumcision. He's preaching against things in the law. And a little skirmish, not a physical fight, but there's a disagreement in the church. And after Paul explains what he's doing, he shows them the gospel. He shows them the ministry that God's called him to do. And when they hear that, verse number 9, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas what? The right hands of fellowship, that we should go forth unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So they showed the right hand of fellowship. What's something good you can do with your hand? Offer it in fellowship. I think one of the biggest insults you can have is if I offer my hand here to Brother Sutliff and he doesn't respond. Just looks at it, looks back at me. Whew. That means there's a big problem between the two of us. When someone offers your hand and you accept it, now you can say, hey, we're in agreement. We're of one accord. For that brief second, we're one. Me and him, we're one. Then, and that's what happens at church. You say, why don't we shake hands? You're just spreading germs. Maybe a little bit. Amen? But it's to offer fellowship. It's to say, although I'm from a different background, be from a different country, different language, different race, different financial thing, different education levels. No, in the body of Christ, we offer the right hand of fellowship. No division here. Amen. No schism in the body. Right. No fights and arguments. And Brother Rice, that week I tried to sit in your seat. I know it was bad. Amen. I had to look for someone who was generous enough to give me a row in the church. Amen. I tried a couple of different spots. I didn't harbor any bitterness. Nothing. Oh, but I can offer my hand, and we could say, hey, even if that was a thing, yeah, it should be done. Yeah. It should be done. Amen? Amen? Sadly, I'm sure there's someone here that can look at someone else in the church and be like, eh, not him. I don't want to sit with him. I don't want fellowship with him. Oh, they invited us over? The Bellmans? I don't know if I want to go over there. How sad is that? When Christ died for the church and he tells us to offer that fellowship, that unity one to another. There should be no division in the church. How can I use my hands to do something good? Offer it to somebody in love and honesty. It should be a reflection of what's in your heart. When you offer someone your hand, you're saying, hey, I'm offering myself, you're offering yourself, we're of one accord. It used to mean a pact, a promise. That's my word when I give you my hand. I'm giving you my right hand, my strength that I have. I'm showing you there's nothing in it. No secrets, no lies. Here's my hand. Christian, there should be nothing between us here in the church tonight. Amen. You should be able to offer your hand in fellowship, and others should be able to take it. If you've got to fix that tonight, go up to somebody after service. Or if they're not here on Sunday, or whenever you see that person next, apologize and offer your hand. We have no place for division in the house of God. Offer the right hand of fellowship. What else can you do with your hands? Amen? This isn't going to be deep. Amen? There's not a lot of a new doctrine here we're going to hit tonight. Go to Leviticus chapter number 23. Leviticus chapter number 3. I was praying and reviewing my message because there are some points we're going to get to that I don't want to say the wrong way and have Pastor Russo ask me never to preach again. Or say, hey, you know, you talked about wanting to preach in Mexico. We can make that happen. Let's get on back. Amen. Leviticus chapter number 23, verse number 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and saying to them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and ye shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And it goes on to say, you're not even supposed to eat of that harvest until you've done this offering. This was a serious thing. Why? Because this offering, this wave offering, they would take the sheaf, am I saying that right? It sounds weird now that I'm saying it. And they would wave it. The priest would wave it in the air before the Lord. Why would they do that? It's a symbol of the tithe. It's to say, here, Lord, you get what's first. You get first. Before I'm going to eat anything that I just brought in from the field, I'm going to offer it to you first. And at the same time, they would offer a first-year lamb as a sacrifice to the Lord. Say, preacher, how does this help me? You want us to start cutting down some wheat and bringing it into church and waving it around? No. But God is looking for what's His. Ye are bought with a price, and ye are not your own. Some people tonight maybe need to check out your life and say, you know what, Lord, I can lift up my hand and say, I'm yours. I can lift up my hand, and as the Lord cried out in Isaiah, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And you can say, here am I, send me. If you're a Sunday school teacher or a teacher, there's always a couple kids in your class, right, who know the answer. Anyone have students like that? Ooh, 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 ooh. And they're dancing and bouncing. Pick me, I know. And half the time they can't keep the answer in. They're so excited. They have to scream, Joshua, me, pick me. And you have, I would have, but now I can't because you screamed out the answer. You know, you've had that experience, right? Oh, that God would have that with us. Whom shall I send? And there's 40 people in the room. Ooh, ooh, me. I can't wait. Lord, me. Can I go? Can I be the one? Please, Lord, please, me. We need some help with something around the church. Oh, me. Pastor, please, see my hand first. Me over here. Oh, give it all Sunday. Oh, yeah. Me. I want to be the one. Sometimes we get a little selfish. And we make the mistake of thinking, what I have is mine. My kids are mine. My house is mine. My stuff is mine. And most importantly, I'm mine. And God is looking for Christians who are going to say, nope, what I have is yours. And above all, I'm going to offer myself. What's something you can do with your hand? Raise it in a wave offering to the Lord. Say, Lord, what do I have in my life that you want? Well, what can I get rid of that you can have? Lord, what am I putting before you? Take it. I want to be used of you. Let's go on. What can we do with our hands? Go to Psalms chapter 47. Psalms chapter number 47. I'm trying to go through them fast. This was a long message for me. And I don't want people to start falling asleep. Amen. I remember when Pastor Russo first started preaching, it was a blessing. As a younger teenager in the church, oh yeah, Pastor Russo's preaching. That means a 15-minute message. And that's always true of new preachers. And then they mature in their spiritual wisdom, amen, and they get longer and longer and longer. Amen. Hey, we're in church, amen. If you didn't come to hear from God, I hope you're here to hear from God's word, amen. Psalms chapter number 47, verse number 1 says, oh, what? Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. What can we do with our hands? Amen. Woo, doesn't that seem weird? It does. It does seem a little odd. Is it in the Bible? Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. You can clap your hands to the Lord. There's some danger in it. Because a lot of times nowadays we use applause as a what? Oh, great job, brother. Great job, sister. That was beautiful. And we need to be careful. Sometimes we use amen for that instead. The more amens, the better I did singing my song. Amen?
Amen.
We're not glorifying man with our amens or with our claps. But if you want to lift up the Lord, there's nothing wrong with using your hands to clap to the Lord. It's in the Bible. The clapping in the Bible is an imitation of the sounds of nature. The sounds of God's creation. Psalm 98:8 says, let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together. Isaiah 55:12 says, the mountains and the hills shall break before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. When the waves are beating on the shore, that's God hearing the applause of his creation. When that gusts of wind come out of nowhere and the trees look like they're about to blow over, that's the trees clapping to their creator. Remember when Jesus was entering into Jerusalem and certain said, hey, tell all these people to quiet down. They were praising the Lord. And what does Jesus say to them? If these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Nature knows to honor its creator. And yet we look at, ooh, what are people going to... I don't know. I heard Brother Clay Reed once said, I wrote it in the margin of my Bible, does God get more praise from a rock than from you? Nature's praising its creator.
Right.
And we're scared.
He's worthy.
He is worthy. I'm not saying after every song, everyone needs to stand there and clap. And we're going to talk about some other things here tonight. But if God's moving you, if you want to lift up God and the Holy Spirit's touching your heart, just know, if you decide to clap your hands, it's in the Bible. Amen? Maybe you try it at home first. Just to get used to how it feels. Amen? Sing Amazing Grace to the Lord and start clapping during it. Praise the Lord. And then when you get to church, you might not be so awkward and your face won't get all red because somebody is going to look at you. But if the Lord's leading you to do it, clap your hands to the Lord. Share your joy. I remember Pastor Brian down in Mexico, the missionary we were working with, he took a trip to Japan. And I asked him, bring me back something. He was going to surprise me with what it is. And he brought me back a Kit Kat. Woo, I love Kit Kats. And I pop it in my mouth, and it's a green tea Kit Kat. That tasted a little funny in my mouth. Because my mind sees Kit Kat and knows what a Kit Kat tastes like. Because I've had a few Kit Kats, amen? And then I eat the green tea Kit Kat and my mind says, this isn't a Kit Kat. What is this thing? And then I have to try another bite. It smelled a little bit like seaweed. Do I want to try it? And then the more I ate it, I got used to it. And it's not replacing Kit Kats. I'm not paying to ship Kit Kats from Japan here because they were so good. Sometimes when we do something new, it feels a little, that's not what I'm used to. But what does the Word of God teach us? What does the Word of God say? It says, Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. What else can we use our hands for? We can use our hands in worship. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. You can use your hand in the right hand of fellowship to repair, to forgive, to say welcome. You can use your hands as a wave offering, offering yourself to the Lord. You can use your hands to clap to the Lord. Nehemiah, I'll get there eventually too. Nehemiah chapter 8. Ezra is here. They finished the construction of the walls. They find the book of the law. And the people here have passed many, many, many years without hearing the word of God read. And we take a lot of things we do from our church services from this passage in Ezra chapter 8. He gathers all the people together. In verse number 4, it says, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood." Now, technically in the Bible, this would be more like the pulpit. Amen. People refer to sometimes this as the holy desk or something of that. There's another passage like that. But the pulpit was something they built up in front. Why? Goes on to say, which they had made for the purpose for him to read the word of God from. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Uriah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand and on his left hand, Pedaiah and Mishael and Malachiah and Hashem and Hashbadana and Zechariah and Meshullam. Amen. Whew. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was what? Above the people, the point of the pulpit. And when he opened it, all the people stood by. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. How did they start? With a prayer. Amen. And all the people stood when it was time to read the book. And all the people answered, amen, yeah. Amen. Sometimes preachers will say, and all the people said, amen. Amen. That's where this comes from. With how? With lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. These people had spent many years without... It's fair to say that everyone here had never heard the Word of God read before. Never. And they knew this was going to be something special. And Ezra prepared. He had the pulpit made. He had men on his right hand and on his left. And it goes on to say in verse number 8 that they all worked together to read the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's why we don't just... It's one of those passages. We don't just read the chapter and say, amen, you're all dismissed. It's to put a practical purpose on what we're reading. But he prepared, he read, and what did the people do? Before they understand it, before they get the sense, before they hear it, they lift up their hands and do what with their heads? Bow their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. These people went down on their knees or laid down, put their heads down to the dirt, and lifted up their hands to the Lord. Why? Because Ezra said, everybody do this? Because that's written in the law somewhere they had to obey? No, because they wanted to worship the Lord. They wanted to worship the Lord. They humbled themselves. They said, Lord, I'm nothing. You're everything. Said, Lord, I'm in the dirt. You're the Most High. They said, Lord, I'm nothing but a creature, and you're my creator. Said, Lord, I'm the dust. You are God. How did they do that? By putting their faces down and their hands up. They worshiped the Lord. Some other examples in Scripture. We're not going to go there. Psalms 119:48. My hands also will I lift up to thy commandments, which I have loved. Another time, people lifting up their hands because they love the Word of God. Psalms 134, 1 and 2. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Where? In the sanctuary. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. Psalm 63, 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Amen. What a sentence that is. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Now, there's different ways to do it. There's like in this example in Nehemiah, people are in humility. They're lowering themselves before God. And other times, it's more in a praise way. They're worshiping God and raising their hands. That's why every once in a while, there's a few weirdos in here who will raise their hand during a song. Why? I don't know. They're just a little. I mean, it's just Brother Sutliff. Everybody knows this. Brother Sutliff does that. Why? Because Scripture teaches us to worship God. One of the things you can do is raise your hand. You can put your head down. You can raise your hand. You can go on your knees. You can lay down in the dirt and raise your hand. You can probably stand up and shout and raise your hand. Why? Because you're trying to worship the Lord God. Amen? We're lifting up God with your praise, with excitement, or with humility and lowness. Some people, when the Spirit starts moving, they get real quiet. And a tear comes to your eye, and you just want to say, "Ooh, you are God." And other people, same person, different situation, they're getting all excited. God's good, amen, woo! And they're praising God with excitement. But how do they do it? By lifting up their hands. We have a time of the service we call the time of worship. When we're singing. On a side note, let's try to be in here for that, amen? That's a good time to be in the service, amen? When we start to worship. It's one of the reasons we change the order of service a little bit. So we can have more songs together right before the preaching. Why? To build up an attitude of worship where people are ready to hear the Word of God. Please help us with that. I'll say, oh, now that they do the announcements right after the first song, I'll just wait till after the offering, then I'll come in. No, come in. Get part of the service. Get your heart ready to hear the Word of God. Use that as a chance to worship God because He's worthy of our worship. Amen? We sing something like Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How many of us couldn't want to just say, ooh, yes, Lord. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. One of my favorites is, how great thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. And just say, how great thou art. You raise your hand and praise the Lord. Now, don't get nervous. Brother Eric isn't going to come up and say, okay, everyone, raise your hands. We're going to sing this song. No, because if God's not doing it in here, it doesn't matter what you do here. It's not saying you have to. If you want to worship God, you must raise your hand. No, but don't look at somebody weird next to you who's raising their hand. What are they? Again? Come on now. Why is he clapping? Why is he raising his hands? Why is he getting excited? Because God's talking to him. And I trust in your heart you would do it for the same reason. Don't feel, oh, Brother Roy preached on it. I better raise my hand next time we sing a song or everyone's going to think I'm not worshiping God. No, not at all. But think about it. Think about it. Use the time to worship. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Amen. One more thing tonight. Let's go over to Lamentations chapter 3. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3, right before Ezekiel. Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to God. Amen. What a good prayer for all of us. Let us lift up our heart with what? With our hands. Unto God in the heavens. I love the symbolism that's there. You can imagine lifting up your heart to God and saying, this is all that I am, my life, the core of who I am is yours, Lord. And how do we do it? We do it in prayer. How can I use my hands? You can lift them up to the Lord in prayer. I know the tradition, what we teach all our kids is, what? Fold your hands. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Why? Mostly I do it for my kids so they'll sit still. Amen? And think about what's going on. I have some fidgety children. Amen? There's not a verse that teaches us to pray you have to fold your hands. In the Bible, there's many verses that talk about lifting up your hands. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, and doubting, as Pastor Russo was just saying, with faith. No doubting. Psalm 28:2, Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. In Lamentations chapter 2, it's mentioned again. In Ezra chapter 9, it's mentioned again. Solomon in 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles spreads, it says he spreads his hands up to heaven. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus raises his hands to heaven when he's blessing his disciples right before he ascends into heaven. Example after example after example where people lifted up their hands in prayer. Do I have to? No. Am I not spiritual if I don't? No. One of my favorite examples in the Bible about prayer is in Luke chapter 18. And here we have the Pharisee, and is it the publican? I always forget. The publican, praying together. And the Pharisee's all proud, and the publican smote his chest, wouldn't even look up to heaven, and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He wasn't raising his hands to the Lord. He wouldn't even look. He was smiting his chest. Doesn't mean you have to. But I'd like you to maybe try. Like I said, in the privacy of your home. You don't have to put on a show for everyone. It doesn't have to be so everyone in the church thinks I'm spiritual. Maybe this week while you're praying at home, when you get to a point where you're really begging God, don't be scared to lift up your hands. We use our hands all the time when we're talking. Anyone here Italian? Can't stop with the hands. Yeah, Giuseppe! Yeah, stuff like this. If I was begging, you're right here in the front, so I'm going to use you. Brother Sutliff had something I really needed. I needed it. And I was standing here like this. Brother Sutliff, could you please give me that thing I really need that's going to save my life? You think he doesn't care. You would expect someone to be begging, pleading, I need it, brother, please, help me, I need it. And you get down on your knees. You might put your face in the dirt and raise it, please. What do the animals do when they show submission? They get way down low. They might turn on their belly and put their legs up to say, hey, you win. And yet with God, Lord, I really need, could you please bless?
That's good, brother.
Maybe try lifting up your hands. It might taste like that green tea Kit Kat at first. And it feel a little strange. You might not want to do it again. That's between you and God. If your relationship with God is fine, and you're getting a hold of Him, and you know He's talking to you, it's not for you. If you want to try it, try praying. Maybe try laying on the floor at home and praying. And lifted a hand up to the Lord in supplication. Begging. There's a word I love in Spanish. It's rogar. And we don't use it. It's more to beg. To be beseech in the Bible. But you're not just asking. You have orar or pedir. To pray. To ask. When you say rogar, that's like, I need this. This is important. I'm begging for it. And in those situations, I can't help but think, man, this would be a great time to lower my head and lift up my hands to the Lord. So I encourage you, I know this is kind of an odd message. Say, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Use your hands for good. Man, offer it to somebody tonight in fellowship. If you've got something between somebody, go up to them. Say, you know, I need you to forgive me for this, or I've been treating you wrong about this, and give him your hand. Or just somebody new in the church. Somebody you don't normally talk to. Go up to them. Put a smile on your face. Offer the right hand of fellowship. It's good to see you. Start a conversation trying to find out what's going on in that person's life. Maybe tonight you want to try, on the way home in the car, singing a song. Woo! God's good. Try clapping your hands to the Lord. Maybe when you're reading your Bible or you're hearing preaching in the next couple weeks and the Lord says your heart, you'll say, that's me, Lord. Use me. Can I be the one to serve you, Lord? And lift up your hand as an offering to the Lord. Maybe when we're singing or praying, the first time, you might want to try just a little. Woo. I see Mrs. Bayer sometimes. I'm telling her. She does it. Woo! But you can see her sometimes in her chair. Just, what's she doing? She's clapping to the Lord. Amen? You don't have to make a show of it because it's you worshiping God. Amen? And like I said, I'm not trying to force you. Don't worry. There's not going to be some song where we're going to say, everyone, raise your hands. And we're all going to be... No. And we get nervous because some other denominations have taken these things and taken them to the extreme. And you can't pray and you can't sing unless your hands are up and you're talking in weird languages and stuff. That's not what God's about. Go with me to Psalms chapter number 41. We're going to close with a little song. We're going to get in a little practice here tonight. Pastor Russo inspired me on Sunday with his song, Psalm chapter number 47, verse number 1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. It's a little song we've been listening to with the kids. It goes, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands, oh, clap your hands. All ye people, clap your hands, shout out unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands. Want to try it? Amen. Let's do it. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands, oh, clap your hands. All ye people, clap your hands, shout out unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands. We'll do it one more time. Amen. You're starting to get it. Amen. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands, oh, clap your hands. All ye people, clap your hands, shout out to God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands, all ye people, clap your hands. Amen. Feel good? We're praising the Lord together. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you tonight that although you are almighty, that you let us worship you. I pray, Lord, that we would truly worship you in spirit. Lord, if you touch our heart to lift up our hands to recognize that you're above us, help us not quench that spirit or let our pride get in the way. Lord, if your spirit's moving us and we just want to shout out to you and clap our hands, help us not quench the spirit. At the same token, Lord, I ask that you wouldn't teach us to worship in flesh and think a show means we're worshiping you. Lord, you desire those to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to do that. Lord, if there's any division here in the church tonight, put it on that person's heart to go up, to offer the right hand of fellowship that we could be one body ready to serve you. And I pray, Lord, as you lead people and guide people through their lives, they would always be willing to lift up their hands and say, Lord, use me. I want to be the one. I want to be an offering unto you. As we go our separate ways this week, Lord, teach us to praise you and worship you as you deserve. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.